Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast channel and episode 2 of the podcast series on liability and recourse for COVID-19 vaccine injuries. Today we venture into discussion on the legal regulatory framework through which COVID-19 vaccinations have been approved for use in South Africa. In doing so, our focus will be on the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority, which some of you may know as SAHPRA, and the fulfillment of its obligations under the Medicines and Related Substances Act. I am Abigail Butcher, an associate in the Employment Department at CDH. Joining me today is Susan Mayer, a director in the Competition Department at CDH and the head of the firm's healthcare and pharmaceutical sector. Welcome, Susan, and thank you for your time today to discuss how vaccinations have been approved for use in South Africa and the regulatory framework which has enabled SAHPRA to ensure vaccine safety and efficacy.
Thank you, Abigail. So I think at the moment, the topical conversation has largely been around whether mandatory vaccination policies are lawful. And one of the opposing arguments that's often raised is that COVID-19 vaccinations were developed in some haste in South Africa and therefore might not be guaranteed to be safe. So this conversation and understanding how vaccinations were actually approved in South Africa is quite important in dealing with issues around vaccine efficacy and safety.
100%, Susan. So perhaps the first port of call is discussing where exactly SAHPRA fits in.
SAHPRA is the body tasked with regulating all health products in South Africa. So this includes the likes of medicines, medical devices, complementary medicines, and in vitro diagnostics. SAHPRA's powers are set out in the Medicines and Related Substances Act and its regulations. And SAHPRA is essentially the body tasked with ensuring the safety, efficacy, and quality of all health products, including vaccines. Vaccines need to be authorized or registered with SAHPRA before they can be prescribed, administered, or sold in South Africa. Vaccine authorization and registration is dealt with in terms of sections 21 and 15 of the Act, and I'll just briefly explain the difference between these two sections. So section 21 is very prescriptive, and it speaks to the authorization of unregistered medicines, medical devices, and IVDs, and it effectively enables SAHPRA to authorize the sale of medicines during a specified period to any specified person or institution and only a specified quantity of medicines which are not registered. In contrast, Section 15 provides for the actual registration of medicines and medical devices. So what essentially happened with vaccines is that SAHPRA initially approved vaccinations as unregistered medicines through Section 21 of the Act as a form of emergency use authorization, and then attended to the actual registration of these vaccines in terms of Section 15 after the manufacturers had formally applied in terms of the Act.
Thank you, Susan. So I think to your point there on Section 21, we can discuss how Section 21 has several possible scenarios for use. And these include, firstly, treatment for an individually named patient. So this type of scenario is where a healthcare practitioner identifies a treatment regime, which includes a drug or medicine which isn't registered in South Africa, but may be registered elsewhere. So a healthcare practitioner then submits that treatment regime to SAHPRA through a Section 21 process. The second is where bulk stock is required by a health establishment. So essentially, a health establishment will need to hold significant amounts of stock, so an individual treatment application is not appropriate or possible. And then thirdly, in public health emergencies. So the use of Section 21 for vaccine approval would fall under the public health emergencies category. SAHPRA has defined a public health emergency as an extraordinary event which, in consultation with the National Department of Health, has been determined to cause an outbreak, epidemic, or pandemic. So we see COVID fitting squarely within that scenario and Section 21 then lending itself for registration of a medicine in that scenario. SAHPRA has issued a guideline, which they do a lot, regarding availability of medicines for use in a public health emergency, which specifies that any medicine approved for use in a public health emergency must, firstly, be verified to be manufactured in compliance with good manufacturing practices, of which there are various requirements, and secondly, have information provided to SAHPRA on the safety, quality, and efficacy of the medicine. So this includes research on the medicine, development of the medicine, and would also encompass research and data in relation to clinical trials already conducted, as SAHPRA itself does not conduct clinical trials. So based on that application for approval and the submission of that data, SAHPRA may then approve the vaccination with conditions.
Yes. So it's quite evident from what you've just said, Abigail, that Section 21 was indeed intended for use by SAHPRA to approve the vaccines in the case of an extreme threat to public health, which is exactly what the COVID-19 pandemic was, but while still ensuring the safety and efficacy of the medicine that it was approving. So this process that was utilized as registration of a new medicine in South Africa in terms of the Section 15 would ordinarily take much longer, I think on average about 20 months. And in contrast, the Pfizer vaccine was approved under Section 21 with conditions as early as 16 March 2021, which was just some 12 months after the national state of disaster was first declared in South Africa.
Which we understand, it's quite remarkable. But Susan, you mentioned approved with conditions. What does this mean?
Okay, so in an effort to avail vaccines for COVID-19 to the public expediently, it was necessary to authorize vaccines on the basis that certain outstanding information would be submitted within a prescribed timeframe. This effectively took the form of conditions as reflected in the conditional registrations. And examples of these conditions include that the vaccination is supplied and administered in accordance with national COVID-19 vaccination programs and guidelines, that results of ongoing studies are reported, and that the manufacturers also conform with pharmacovigilance activities, such as the periodic safety updates, and this would include, importantly, the reporting of any adverse events.
That makes sense, Susan. So we've discussed a Section 21 application process for approved use in public health emergencies. Where exactly does Section 15 then come in?
Perhaps just to focus on this in the context of COVID-19 vaccinations, SAHPRA has issued a guideline which says that Section 21 authorizations for unregistered medicines, in circumstances where the medicine, in this case the vaccine, was actually already authorized for use in a public health emergency by an international medical regulatory authority recognized by SAHPRA, then it's also a requirement of that approval under Section 21 that the applicant also still apply for registration of the vaccine in terms of Section 15. So this is in line with SAHPRA's commitment to continue with the necessary research and development. And these applications can either motivate for what we call a priority review or a rolling review.
So a rolling review allows SAHPRA to review data from the early developmental stages of the vaccine while the later stage clinical trials are taking place. And mentioning what you did about Pfizer being registered so quickly, this strategy has helped expedite the regulatory review process for candidate COVID-19 vaccinations, as clinical trials are to this day still ongoing. So the later stage clinical trials are still taking place despite the initial approval, so that there's that ongoing research and development with regards to the medicine.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's also important to mention that before applying for a rolling review, SAHPRA does require that the applicants have gathered a certain level of evidence on the safety, quality, and efficacy of their vaccines. So, for example, applicants would need to provide non-clinical and clinical trials phase 2 data that demonstrates promising evidence of safety and efficacy, written confirmation that phase 3 trials have started and that there are enough people enrolled to provide evidence of safety and efficacy within a reasonable amount of time. This is generally expected to be within 6 months of the initial filing, and evidence which shows that the manufacturing of the candidate vaccine is indeed in compliance with good manufacturing processes. So as complex as this regulatory framework is, and indeed, Abigail, you mentioned earlier the continued changing guidelines that keep getting published, which obviously makes it quite difficult to navigate, I think what we can see is that the process undertaken by SAHPRA, whilst expedited, has definitely prioritized safety and efficacy.
The Pfizer vaccination, which was just registered under Section 15 by SAHPRA on 7th of February 2022, underwent a rolling review. Speaking of safety, Susan, I understand that SAHPRA has launched a med safety app, which allows both individuals and healthcare providers to report adverse drug reactions, including adverse events following immunization from the vaccine. The app also allows the public and healthcare providers to learn more about medicine safety through news alerts from SAHPRA, creates an awareness of medicines and also their potential adverse effects, as well as pharmacovigilance, as you mentioned earlier. So I think individuals should keep this in mind when receiving either their first sets of vaccinations or booster shots.
The MedSafety app is indeed a fascinating use of technology. On the booster shots, I think it's also just important to note that SAHPRA has actually received applications from Pfizer and J&J to amend the dosing schedules under which these were registered, and it's approved these applications. So the booster shots are now also officially approved by SAHPRA for administration in South Africa.
Thank you, Susan. I think as a simple takeaway from what was a complex regulatory discussion, it is our hope that citizens remained informed of both the scientific results and the regulatory channels, which have been considered and followed and will continue to be by SAHPRA to ensure vaccine safety and efficacy, and that everyone remains safe in their own decision-making processes. Susan, thank you so much for your time to discuss the vaccine approvals process.
Thank you, Abigail.
Our next episode looks at the fundamental difference between a defect with a vaccine itself on the one hand and an individual's adverse response to a vaccine on the other, and delves into product liability and the apportionment of liability when medicines are in fact defective.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.